again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
Yes, you are. And I'm Will Alexander.
Good to see you again, buddy. I know you had a big weekend. We had a big week up here in Graceland as well. We're going to talk this week about a lot of things that have to do with when you're judging, the things you need to consider. Showmanship, dogs on the day, all that and more right here on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh, 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 oh. Yellow hills.
Oh, goodness gracious. How you doing there, William? It's good to see you, buddy.
It's good to see you, too, as well, Wayne, there in Graceland.
Yeah, we're back up north in Graceland, my favorite place in the world. It's been a great week up here. We had Tatum and Ben and Haley up for the weekend.
I think I saw that on Facebook. I think I saw some pictures.
Gosh. And the weather, of course. It's just so beautiful up here. I was talking to some friends yesterday. We're just hanging out on the road there talking, our neighbors from Texas and in Kentucky. And they just said, you have no idea. This weather, we don't have anything like this. These blue skies, fresh, crisp air every day. And the scenery, it's beautiful up here. It's Shangri-La.
Like Northern Ontario where you are. You're further north than me. It's Northern Ontario.
I am further north than you, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I was talking.
Cheryl's going to head.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I was in Ohio on the weekend. Actually, it was in my hotel was in West Virginia because it was right there on the border where the dog show was. And the gentleman I was talking to, he has the coffee truck at the dog show, and he saw I was from Canada, and he said, "Well, we used to go fishing up there," and he mentioned a spot which is not too far from me here. I said, "Well, you should go north." I said, "You should go north and go fishing." He says, "We do. Sometimes we go up to Traverse City."
Oh, wow. Funny. Yeah, it's great fishing up here, too. Beautiful spot. Anyway, you know, the thing about this sport is we get to see so many cool places. And this one isn't related to the sport necessarily, but there's sure a lot of dogs up here. Well, I saw two at the park downtown, not here at the resort. I saw two Walsh Springer Spaniels, a couple of two, and they were nice ones. And I tried to get a picture, but it was just too late.
Yeah.
One was old and one was probably three or four, but
you don't see often as a pet dog, you know?
Yeah. That's a great breed too.
It really is. When I was a kid, I was smaller than I am now, and I wasn't big enough to show the Irish Setters. So my parents asked me what breed I wanted, and I went from English Cockers to Welsh Springers. That was my
choice. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
So I used to love that dog that Dick Cooper showed. I think his name was it Connie Christie bred him. What was his name? Revolution or something like that? I don't know. Can't remember. But
He would know his dog show record. He would know everything about him.
Yeah.
42 best shows, 47 groups. You have it all right there.
What did you have for breakfast, Ken?
Anyway, by the way, no idea. Hey, for those, you know, who love the internet rumors, Ken was sick a little bit. He's done real well. He's right back to showing. He wasn't down for more than a couple of days. So, never mind all that stuff. He's up and at him and doing his thing, flying around and evaluating breeding stock as it should be done. And speaking of which, young William,
yes,
evaluating breeding stock, you had an email.
I did.
That was, I thought, sensational.
I'll read it to you. Ready? It comes from Joe Loser from the Dog Show Fan Club. So this is the question. The question is, as a judge, what percentages do you place on quality of the dog versus how they showed that day? The reason for the
stop
question.
It.
What's that?
You wouldn't believe this, but
my phone.
No.
Oh.
Spectrum Internet saying there's an outage. Please answer. We'll set this up. I'm on my hotspot. When Will and I started this, my internet went down. And now they're going to pester me and tell me it went down, my phone and everything else, while we're working on my hotspot. So, yeah, I don't know. Sorry about that. You want to start over?
Yeah, I'll read the question again. The question is...
Well, I mean, you want to start over.
Oh, start over? I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is welcome. Real life. This is the show.
Your real life with technical difficulties. Next. And this time, it's not our fault. It's Spectrum Internet's fault. So up here in Graceland. Yeah, they don't have it together yet. Sorry.
So
read the question.
The question is, as a judge, what percentages do you place on quality of the dog versus how they showed that day? The reason for the question is you see top dogs showing terribly and still winning that day. So people make the comment, why don't we just send in a picture in our pedigree with the ownership? That came from Joe Loser from the Dog Show Fan Club.
Well, Joe, I got to tell you, I really like your question because there's a lot of truth in there, isn't there?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying it's always that way because I think we really have the best judges in the world. And I think we have among the best dogs and the best system in the world. But come on, we see it all the time. Dog's record gives them momentum and you give them a pass. I got to tell you, as a judge, it is so hard. I have a dog that I love that I had to beat one day and it broke my heart. I still think about it. He just had a horrible day.
Yeah.
And it happens. And I had to put up a dog who I know if they meet again and they're on equal footing and both showing well, it's going to go the other way, probably. He just didn't have a day. And you've got to judge what you have. If you're going to be an honest judge, you've got to judge what you have before you on the day. And if it's December and someone's been running a dog real hard and it's no longer in condition or in muscle, or if it's the middle of the year and they're having a bad day. I mean, Will looks phenomenal today. I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you had your video on, he looks spectacular. And last week, he looked like Jabba the Hutt. It was terrible. You see me this morning. My hair is sticking straight up. I look, my lighting is such that I have a light on top of my head. My nose looks giant and red. Yeah, it's real pretty. All of us have days that we look like this and act like this and feel like this. And the same is true for dogs. And you've got to judge them on the day. It also brings up the bigger question. And I've written about this extensively. Do we in America put too much emphasis on showmanship, presentation, grooming? Will would say no, because he's so damn good at it. But I think we tilt the wrong way. With that said, you know, there's the dilemma, right? I'm just saying if a dog doesn't look his best on the day, it's tough to reward him because you have to judge him on the day. On the other hand, the complete opposite other hand, I think we put too much emphasis on presentation and grooming.
Well, like, you can also make the case for you're judging breeding stock, and
right.
He's not going to produce that he had a bad day that day.
Well, one could say that. Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point.
I can see being a little harder on them at group level, but at breed level, you're judging the best tin can dog of that day or whatever dog breed you're judging. And if the best one, he's having a bad day, but still you got to think, okay, if I had this group of dogs to choose one to start breeding this breed from, am I going to choose the one that's standing on its toes because it wants the food or the beautiful one that says, I don't want to be here? It's a tough call.
That's a good point though, Will.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I think you nailed it. The breed judging level, I think maybe even I should. And I'm one who prides himself, especially in the classes.
Yeah.
I don't care if they stand on their head, spin around, jump around, doesn't bother me.
But they have two dogs of equal quality and then one outshows the other. I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
Because they say, oh, it's a dog show. Yes, but you're still judging breeding stock, especially at the breed level, I feel.
Yeah.
And
maybe in the groups it's different. And the reason I'm okay saying that is because the groups to me are just fluff, icing on
cake. I showed a dog. I won't say which dog, but he could win any group in the country. But he could also lose the breed a lot. But once he got by that breed level, he won every group, you know? And yeah. I was never going to win a national, especially with him, but I could win any group in the country. Even our judges that had beaten him in the breed, they would give him the group because he was that kind of dog. You know, he was a group dog.
There's many best in show winners at Westminster that couldn't win a national after 5-6 chances.
Right.
It's a question that hits the sport at so many levels. And maybe if it's a big specialty and I'm doing specials, maybe I should, you know, I think I always do, but maybe I need to be extra conscious of that. I think I am. I think what I'll do though, and this is trying to think through subconscious levels, there's a bits that I like. She's never quite ready. So I've given her select at specialties probably 3 times. And I've always said, well, actually there's two different breeds that I've, now that I think of it, that are bitches that I've done that with. I keep giving them select or opposite or usually select because they're just unmade beds, but they're beautiful bitches. And maybe I need to be a little more forgiving on those.
Yeah.
But it's not because it's not in that case, in both of these cases, they're against a bitch that's very close.
Yeah, and there's quality of that at a specialty, so yeah. you're dealing with it. But I remember watching a class of dogs from the outside. It was I won't say what breed it was. It was one specials dog, one champion, in glorious condition. Not what I would call my cup of tea as the type wise. And then there was the class animals that were just, and then you could tell they were. Beginners, the dogs weren't in condition. They were physically in condition, but they didn't have any finish on them.
Right.
And this judge was judging, and he ended up giving the bitch the breed. And I was shocked because I'd seen this judge give the same dog groups before. I was shocked. So I saw him the other day and I asked him, you know, what, how do you come to that conclusion? Because I was watching. He said, well, the dog got the best of breed dog, glorious condition, like just, the handler and the breeder have done an amazing job getting that dog ready for the dog show. But he's this, he's that, he could be better here, better that. So he said, I stood back and looked at the 4 dogs and decided if I had to take one home to start breeding this breed, which one would it be? And he ended up choosing the winner's bitch. And it made perfect sense to me.
Good for him.
And I've never, ever forgotten that. That was Guy Jevons. I'll tell you, that was Guy Jevons.
Well, that's good for him. I've done that. I know I've done that consciously and was able to articulate it later. But there are times you're not always that. Yeah, it's such a mental process, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's such a mental process. I had a woman who breeds real good dogs at a specialty, bringing me 4 dogs that I couldn't place because the condition was so horrible. I mean, so horrible. A little shampoo and a brush would make this close. Just horrible. And that's something I can't forgive. If they're in really bad condition.
That's disrespectful to the judge to show dogs in that condition. So,
and that's where the line flips, right? That's where you go, okay, maybe this is good breeding stock, but man, I can't encourage this.
No, you got to put some effort into your dog's presentation. Not necessarily grooming and trimming, but there's things that owners can do that make they need to. My French Bulldog client used to have a list, and these are the things that she felt that she was responsible for. And it was her dog's weight, her dog's coat condition, like quality of coat, nails and teeth. And she'd always bring the dog to me in that condition. And I would do what I had to do with it after. She said that was what her job was. She's done her job.
It's true.
Yeah, it's
absolutely true. Right. And, you know, we've had, the longer you judge, the more of these things pop up, and you'll just have it happen in so many ways that you can't imagine, you know, close, different condition, horrible condition, one's showing great on the day, one's not. But at the end of the day, I'd like to feel that I judge from the viewpoint of a breeder and certainly not from the viewpoint of a handler. And I know that there's some handlers that have shown me dogs that shown flawlessly, and I tell them later, I'm just sorry. It's just not whatever breed it's supposed to be. And usually if they're smart enough, they get it.
Oh, they do. Most of them get it, you know.
And I always say, hey, congratulations on getting this thing to be the best dog it can be by far.
An argument I have is it's happened to me too before, a dog will go in the ring and something happens and startles a dog and they can't get the dog back. It spooks. And they they expect that as a dog person, you should forgive that. Well, to a degree,
what kind of dog? What breed?
Yeah, I guess. But
gun dog. Sorry.
Yeah, you've got to. Like you see you're judging a breeding stock. Well, yes. So now you're looking at temperaments, right? So it's a different ball game. Now, well, you should forgive that. That shouldn't have happened. That thunder, he didn't know that thunderous clap was happening. Well, you know, it startled me. I came back.
Right. And if there's 40 pointers and the lightning goes off and all 40 hit the deck and then come right back, except three don't come back, I'm going to take that into consideration.
Oh, for sure. It's a temperament issue at that point, which is, you know, hereditary in some degree. So,
right. There's a difference between standing there with a dog that is frozen on point after having his mind dialed into just birds all day, knowing a gun's going to go off. There's a difference between that sound and a nice, peaceful setting where all of a sudden lightning and thunder.
Oh, there's no question. Because instincts take over on breeds like that. And it's like a pitcher in baseball. The rest goes away and they're focused on what they're doing.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I do take a look at that, because that's not like when I see something happen in the gun dog, well, that dog shouldn't be afraid of that. It wasn't a good, that they should stand up because of guns. Well, again, that argument you just made, sometimes that's the case. You know, their instincts aren't taking over. We're doing something to them which is unnatural to them. We're running them around the ring and holding them up and letting people touch them, and that's not natural to them. That's not their instincts. You know?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But they do have to, if it's close, I mean, for me, in gun dogs, temperaments.
I don't mind if they get startled. I want them to recover.
Sure, as long as they recover.
Yeah.
You know, as long as they recover. And we've seen them do that.
Yeah.
But if there's a special that does it over and over and over and over again, and you see it 15 times, you almost want to say to the breeder, what are you trying to prove here?
I got a great story about that. It was, I wish I could think, Miriam Mangrum, that's a judge, right? I was showing a breed to her on the West Coast. And it was in the group, but a dog she'd already liked. And outside the building, they were picking up garbage bins and dumping them. But I was in a Coliseum, but they could still hear them. You could still hear the boom, boom, boom as they were dumping them. So as she's going over, as she's moving my dog, this happens. And my dog panics and does the soldier dog thing back to the judge. And I'm like, I'm sorry, she's never done that before. Well, she forgave me and placed me in the group. Well, then 3 months later, I'm in Toronto, same judge. I take the dog down and back. Something happens. The dog, soldier dog's back. And Marion goes, she's never done it before, has she?
That's pretty cool. And you know what? I think I know what dog you're talking about.
She didn't place me this time.
And you know, it's certain things in certain breeds, and you do take those things into consideration. I was doing a Springer specialty years ago in California, many years ago in California, and I walked down the row and I came back and I went over the first dog and I gave the second dog rumbling already. As I get closer to her, he's rumbling and he's tight and he's ready to go, and his handler's holding on with fear of life and limb. And I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, you're excused. And she said, well, he didn't do anything. I said, I don't need him to. I don't want to examine a dog who's gone off. And in this breed specifically, but this is back when rage was a big thing.
Yeah.
At this moment in time, as I got close to him, he really did some talking.
Any show of aggression, you're supposed to kick their butts out of there. So.
Yeah. And she said to me, he's only talking. And I said, I don't like what he's saying.
Yep.
And that was it.
Mr. Bevin taught me. I was watching Rottweilers one day. I should listen to the breed. I was watching the breed one day. And this dog, the same thing. And he didn't even touch it. He excused it. He turned to me and said, it's not a competition in bravery.
It's true. Yeah. It's absolutely true. You don't need to put up with, I'm a tough guy, go over that.
I'll do it. Yeah.
If you want to, go ahead.
Yep.
I'm not going to, in certain breeds, especially, there's a problem in a breed like Rage used to be or whatever, you know, or any other temperament in any other breed, if that's an issue, you got to sort that out.
Yep.
I can tell you something that we did at UKC that I really stand by. I don't know what they do now. In coon hunts, four dogs go to a tree, two dogs go to a tree, whatever, up to four because there's four in a cast. They'll fight sometimes the tree. Not often, but it happens. And we call them gators. And if you do that three times, you're out. Not only out, what I did was I took them out of the breeding pool. Took them out of the gene pool.
Yeah.
Well, we tolerate this, right? We get dogs that are disqualified for temperament, but they're allowed to be used.
Yeah.
Should there be, if you're three strikes and out and fail the recheck and all that other stuff, and you're definitely barred for life for temperament on that dog, should he be in the breeding pool? Should he be in the gene pool?
That's a good point. I think that's very responsible. That's good for you.
I don't know.
That dictatorship, I'm telling you.
Dictatorships work. Now, this was a specific thing. This was fighting the tree and a coonhound. And boy, that's something in a dog that has to run other dogs you cannot tolerate. And, that's specific to that sport and that breed. In my opinion, anyway, I don't know what they do now, but is that something that we consider? Because is temperament hereditary? Yeah. Don't tell me that some kid kicked him when he was a puppy or fine.
Exactly. Yeah.
But there's other dogs that it happens to that don't try to kill every judge they see.
He's acting just like his father. That's why he gets that in real in people.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, that's something that. But you know, to answer this question is so loaded. It's on so many levels. It's such good stuff because we are talking about the whole judging the whole dog, and we're judging about evaluating breeding stock,
right.
And temperament's part of that, and coat condition might not be part of that, but it might. In certain breeds, I can tell you in pointers, where they're breeding so much orange and white to orange and white to orange and white to orange and white. That you'll, first of all, they have to do bear testing now because they're losing their patches mm-hmm. of their eyes and ears. Maybe there's a relationship, maybe there's not. I happen to think there might be, but it also can produce some really thin coats. And as a judge, you're looking saying, is that not in condition or is that hereditary issue where they just don't have enough hair?
Oh, it happens in beagles all the time too. You'll get seal coated beagles and that's not going to protect them when they're out working, you know? So
it's not. And by the way,
everybody else is in coat. How did your dog get out of coat?
Yeah. And then you get into thin coats and, oh wow, they have associated allergies and hives and things.
Yeah.
As a judge, you look at that and go, that's normal for the breed in this color, unfortunately. Okay, how does that help in the field? How does that hurt in the field? Is it young? Is it a puppy? Will it grow out of it? And pointers, a lot of them will grow out of it. They just have it when they're young. And then they finally, when they mature, they don't no longer have the hives and the allergies. We had more than one of those ourselves. There's so much to consider. And again, you have a minute and a half to do it. So I was just watching a thing, Nick Saban, the Alabama, I hope he's Alabama's football coach, because if he's not, we're going to get fan mail. but this legendary football coach, there's a special that one of the reporters from the Today Show did with him about mental health in football and athletes and football players, and how it's acceptable now. And they've got 20 psychologists on staff at the university to help with struggling students that are going through a funk or an injury and depression and all that. And you wonder if the dogs that come in the ring, what kind of condition they're in mentally. You know, are they prepared for this? They're athletes too.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And are we sensing that? Are we knowing when to give a dog a day off? Do we look and go, you know, this dog looks like he's stressed from travel, or it's just one show too many, and I think I'm done here. You know, how are we evaluating that in a minute and a half? So you've got temperament, you've got conditioning, you've got grooming, but more importantly, you've got breeding stock that you're looking at in a minute and a half.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
And it's not easy.
There was a
deal. Don't tell me it's 2.5 minutes, because it's never 2.5 minutes. You're not looking at that dog. You're not looking at any dog for 2.5 minutes.
But that makes a good point about mentally. I remember there was a gentleman up here, very famous. He was like family to me, Bob Gillum. You remember Bob Gillum? Robert Gillum. He bred English. It was Burgundy Run, I think was the kennel name. Anyway, he was a judge, a good gun dog judge, on the lines of like a Bill Brennan type judge, Bob Waters, that kind of good old-fashioned gun dog judge. Yeah. I was showing a dog again. The dog was having issues, and this dog I'd done a lot of winning with. And he ended up putting a different dog over me that day, and he'd done well for my dog. And he reached down as he was going, and he whispered in my ear, he said, cut the line, William, live to fight another day, because the dog was having a breakdown, you know?
Yeah,
it's interesting. You get out there sometimes, and you push, and your dog's like, no, stop, you know?
I'm done. Or I'm sensing it in you. You're a nervous wreck. I'm sensing it in you. We've all seen dogs that, for one handler, look like the handler's about to kill them and are living in fear the whole time. Next person takes over and the dog shows like $1 million. Yeah. They just sense something, or they like the other person better, or whatever it might be. Yeah, there's a lot to it. And this is why it's real hard to go back to the same old story we've been talking about, to take a test, go in that ring and judge that breed. Because if you're working, if you have to stop and recite the standard in your head, if you have to stop and internally verbalize, does that even make sense?
Yeah.
Internally think through every single part of the dog, you're going to get lost.
Yeah.
It has to be like, if you ask a golfer, how do you, the greatest golfer, describe your perfect swing, then you videotape it and break it down, they're probably not going to match. You've got to have these templates in your head and walk in. It has to be from the gut. It has to be instant. And it has to be because you had so much preparation and knowledge in the background that you can make those decisions without breaking down every single thing. And when you're talking about putting together conditioning, showmanship, handling, all that crap, plus the actual breeding stock itself, you've got to just have that snapshot and go from it. And you'll hear this from a lot of new judges. I should have gone with my gut in the beginning.
Yep.
I overthought it. And you're right, because that gut thing is the frame you have that you work for a lifetime to build. You find someone that meets that frame, you just point. You start to break it down and overthink it is when things fall apart. We've all done it. World will tell you. And it doesn't matter if they've judged for 50 years. They can tell you, last weekend I did that.
Yeah, I agree. I forget what
judges have a good bad day.
There was a saying that... I can't remember what judge it was. Something like, but if you think twice, you've thought once too long, or something like that.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. But we all have judges. You know, dogs have good days and bad days. Handlers do. Exhibitors do. Breeders do. And guess who else does? Judges.
Oh, for sure.
You think Annie always came out of there going, boy, I was great today? She didn't. No. She'd come over and say, I'm not sure I was great in whatever breed today. You know, maybe I could have adjusted this or that. Not in public, she wouldn't, by the way. And I can only say it now that she's unfortunately long gone. But anyway, there's so much to it, you know. And I think we all have to be, we have to realize that with 10 billion dog shows and 10 billion judges and 10 billion opportunities to win or lose, it's not always going to be the same. Even if there were only 100 dog shows, if every dog was judged from the breed standard is a bunch of, it's such a small bit. It's such a small bit. It's an important foundation, obviously.
Yes.
But if you think you can judge by reading the breed standard only, you just can't.
No, you can pass a test by judging by reading the standard only. You can. I could hand that book of standards to almost any smart kid and say, "Here, study this and take the test." Half an hour, they're going to pass without seeing a dog.
They'll do better because they're not going to overthink
right.
it. They're just going to recite the words in the standard, right? But so it's so much more of that. And if it was perfect every day. There is no perfect, so it can't be perfect every day. But if somebody had an ideal of what perfect was, and that was applied to every dog show, we'd only need one dog show, right?
That's right.
We only need one.
But it's an interesting point about judging by this only the standard, by just reciting the standard. It's amazing what occupations and what professions these days, especially, but like newer vets and newer doctors, it's so much theoretical. Now they don't. They've never been through it. Like if you meet an old farm doctor or vet, they know things right away. They don't. Yep. It's just because they've been through it. So it all comes down to experience, Wayne.
Experience and an eye for it or a feel for it. It's innate. You can't make that up. There are plenty of judges who have passed every test, has 3-4 groups, and still will never get it. And they're the ones that I will not allow to pick out a sofa for me or drapes or a painting or anything that has to do with balance and symmetry because they just don't see that. They're not bad people. They're not bad people. They're trying.
Oh, I know.
But it's, I've never been as good at ballet as I'd like to be. I know you're a great ballerina, Will. But we don't do those. Maybe I could be trained, but I'm guessing that we're not. You and I specifically are not built to be basketball players or ballerinas,
no.
Or shot put throwers or whatever the hell they throw. There's a horse for the course, and some judges will just never have that eye for balance and symmetry. And of course, the dilemma is no one knows if they do or don't. They all think they do. But
I think that's when you would let him buy a sofa. I used to always say, I would let him buy me a cup of coffee.
That's true. I like it. By the way, I've got one little nitpicky bone to pick.
All right.
Sloping top lines. Okay. It's not in every breed standard. We all know that. Right. And when it is, it's probably more subtle than we like to make them because we love to exaggerate the crap out of everything, stretch them out to all that stuff. But the funniest one is when people post pictures and to slope their dog's top line, they rotate. They're not good at Photoshop. But they can rotate on their iPhone. Anybody can do that, right? So they rotate the picture 1 or 2 degrees to give it a sloping top line, not realizing that the horizon line in the back is also sloping 5 degrees. The bench they're on is sloping 5 degrees, that their hat is sloping 5 degrees. You're not fooling anybody, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
If you're going to rotate your dog 5 degrees and give it a sloping top line, you might want to have someone who knows how to do it to rotate just the dog.
That's amazing. That's what people think they can do. And then probably 50% get through,
I was listening to a thing. I can't even remember the context. It was a woman. Oh, it was a movie director. And they were interviewing her about a feud between her and the star of this big famous new movie. And she had the greatest answer. She said, the internet has already had their way with this. And there's no reason giving the internet any fuel because it's overfueled as it is. They don't need any more of mine. That's not her exact words, but that was the sentiment, and it was wonderful. In other words, why would I comment on something that's just going to get spun on the damn internet anyway?
Exactly.
And when you're on the internet, and you're especially on Facebook, and you're looking at these dog pictures, and you know that's not what the dog looks like, or maybe you think it does look like that, then you walk in the ring to judge it, and you're like,
nothing more disappointing. Nothing more disappointing. You know, you look forward to seeing something, then you see it in real life, and you. Oh man, why?
But for the dog's ego? No, they don't have that.
No, it's not for the dog's ego.
There's an issue. Maybe. Whose ego are we messing with here? Because reality is reality. And we've gone way past, unfortunately, evaluating breeding stock in many, too many instances. Yeah. And we get back down to
I was set up with Clayton Harris this weekend. It was a lot of fun. And he started talking about when he worked for Ricky. And he said, Ricky had this shed in the back of his property, just filled with magazines, terrier types, popular dogs. Every day he'd go and take a stack and sit by his bed and read them all night long. And he'd see all these great, great dogs and that they were great even on the photos. Now you can pick out their flaws, obviously.
Yeah.
But he said those pictures never left his mind. You know,
I often think it's funny. We'll look back. People will say, well, dogs are much better now. Look at these pictures of the dogs in the past. They were real pictures.
Exactly.
We don't have real pictures anymore.
But he was telling me, it was interesting because you said he had a bunch of 8x10s that Ricky had he'd gotten from Ricky. And there were dogs that Rick had shown. And on the back of every picture, Rick would put a comment about the dog.
Really?
Yeah. So he said things like, oh, this dog was could have been better fronted, but he was a beautiful type for a Welsh Terrier or something like that. Wouldn't that be great to go through and see all Ricky's comments on those dogs? Man,
you are not kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a gold mine right there.
Sure is.
Very cool. Well, you know, are dogs better or worse? That's a whole nother show.
Yeah.
Are dogs better or worse? I can tell you one thing, they're more exaggerated.
Yep.
And they're more elegant. I had an instance where a very good friend who breeds great dogs, I had to give Winner's dog to a dog I wasn't thrilled with either, but he was the best one that day, in my opinion. And she said, oh God, that dog's so ugly. And I said, yeah, he's pretty ugly. But he had the front that every dog in this place should have. He had the bone and the rear that every dog in this place should have. But yeah, he's not very handsome. You know, but he has parts that from a breeder in this particular breed, you all need really badly. He had the two or three things that every other of the 100 dogs that were in there needed.
Yeah.
And was he pretty? No, he wasn't elegant. He didn't have a clean, beautiful head. He was sloppy and he had too much skin. He had just, but he lacked elegance. He had maybe too much of them maybe, but you've got to judge the whole dog as breeding stock. And this whole addition of extra elegance, extra neck, extra everything, extra sloping top line, regardless of the breed, heaven forbid. Doesn't matter if you're supposed to have one. Slope them all, stretch them all out, overangulated behind, way, way, way back there, run real fast, long and low. That's the dog show world of today. And that is it.
Let me tell you a little story about a dog named Red.
Really? It's true, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, there's a lot of good ones to see. You just have to go find them. I bet you saw some good ones in Ohio.
Yeah, had a good time. Man. So it's what's the date today, Wayne? It's the 6th of September.
We don't do calendars up here in Graceland.
You know, but you know what that means? You know what the 6th of September means?
It's 20 days from the Beagle National.
Well, that, but less than a month till preseason starts.
That's right. That's right. It's going to happen soon. And there are people, Americans right now, that are listening to this saying, no, preseason started a couple, 3 weeks ago. That's football. We're talking about a sport where you're not a bunch of pansies that play 16 games. We're talking about athletes that play 60 games.
In hockey, you can't go out of bounds.
That's right.
That's what Don Cherry used to say. In hockey, you can't go out of bounds.
Steve Downey, great NHL player. We're talking one day when he used to stay at the house down there in Kalamazoo with us. He was saying that he didn't talk about hockey too much, but we were talking about when they were in Las Vegas and they had just won the Stanley Cup. And they were in the finals. He didn't win. They didn't win, but they were in the finals. Or they were in the summer, or whatever. They had a good year.
Yeah.
They had rings. A lot of them had rings from previous teams, whatever. And they ran into a bunch of guys, football players who had Super Bowl rings. Different teams. Again, it was a mix of athletes. Just, you know, they all go, your friends from the past, and you all get to, you know, and they said, it was hysterical because the whole time, the football players kept saying, you guys are crazy. And the hockey players kept saying, no, you guys are crazy. You know, 400-pound lineman running into you and stepping on your head.
Yeah.
You guys are, no, you're the tough guys. No, you're the tough guys. They're both tough guys and they're both athletes. So we love to tease the football guys about playing 16, or is it 18 games now?
I don't even know.
But it's not 60, which could be 80 in hockey if you get in the playoffs. When the Dallas Stars had a campaign for hockey in Texas, they had a sign up. Billboards all over town saying NHL. What does N stand for? Nancy. You only play 16 games. But that's gladiator stuff, man. That's gladiator
for sure.
Anyway, both great sports, but the sport that Will and I prefer has preseason starting
coming soon. I can feel it.
Yes. Football, another lovely sport. It's preseason started already, and this was the weekend. This is the weekend for the first day's regular season. Something about the Buffalo Bills and the LA Rams or something. And you know who's playing at the halftime Super Bowl? Or maybe it's this opening. Might just be this opening game. Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh.
He's alive.
I know.
And he's able to stand up on a stage, run around and sing.
Well, we'll wait to see.
Yeah. What do we? maybe that's the tough guys, right? These rock and rollers that come back when they're 80,
exactly,
on a show.
What kind of world are we leaving for Keith Richards, for Christ's sake? I always like that.
Great line. Well, I know you've got things to do, young William, and I do too. Up here at Graceland, we've got a lot on the schedule.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Graceland.
Yeah. This is the last day of the pool, or was yesterday, because they closed things up with Labor Day.
Ah.
So, yeah. It starts to wrap up. I'd say 20% of the people will peel out of here in the next 2 weeks, which we love, because then we have the whole damn Graceland resort to ourselves. Nothing like our specific Graceland, but Graceland in general. I had to fix the hinge on the front door of our specific Graceland.
Uh-oh.
Yesterday. Yeah, I replaced the hinge. It was, it would have been a good video. Let's just put it that way. Would have been a good video. Anyway, it's done. It works. There was bouncing on a ladder with one foot, hooking another one around the rearview mirror, and having Cheryl hand me things and explain that my
life. What happened to Wayne?
I don't know. She then asked me, can I put a trash compactor in or one of those grinder things in the sink? And she'd help me put that in. I think she wanted to shove me down.
Yeah.
I think. Anyway, all right. Where are you heading next, bud?
Actually, having the weekend off, I'm going up to Buckhorn Lake. My sister has a house on the lake, and I'm going to just hang out there for a couple of days with Liam.
Now, are you bringing the boys, the dogs?
No, the dogs are staying here. They're staying here.
You're going all by yourself to relax?
Yes, myself and my son. Liam starts school today. He's 14.
Wow.
Starts school today, and we're going to the weekend at my sister's. So.
Wow, good for you. Good for you. Well-deserved. I know you've had a running year with lots going on. I'm going to New Jersey, to Somerset Hills.
Oh, good.
Westchester.
Yeah.
And I think Sussex Hills, too.
Great.
Those were my old stomping grounds. Yeah, those were my stomping grounds growing up.
That'll be fun.
I mean, I've probably been to those shows 30 times, maybe more. I don't know. That was my home turf. But I'm flying out, which I don't really look forward to. I'm not judging. I'm going to support young Mr. Kavanaugh.
Oh,
the Broads. Brody's showing his puppy, and I'm going to go out there and meet him. We are also trying to find ways to get a dog from the Czech Republic to anywhere in America. I don't care where. If anybody happens to be flying that way, Munich, Prague, please let me know. I'm exhausted trying to find ways. It's just not happening. Airlines don't want to fly in the heat, or they're so screwed up or so short-staffed. Flight cancellations. We just are having a bear trying to get her over here.
Yeah, it's tough. I know I do logistics, but I do ground logistics, so I'm not driving to Czechoslovakia.
I think it would be wonderful for you. You should fly to Munich. All you got to do is get on an airplane, fly to Munich, get a dog, and bring it back.
Yeah.
That's only Germany.
Exactly. Yeah.
So never mind Buttonwood Cabin, the Hallmark movies. Get your ass to the airport. Go get me a dog. Hey, I know what I should do. There's a trophy available for it's the Belter Alexander Challenge. Whatever one of you gets his dog from Munich back, Belter or you, gets this trophy. Now, I know that's only friendly competition, but just mentioning that has both of your blood boiling. And I'm guessing that Belter has got a hold of that trophy. I'm going to beat him again. Yeah.
Like a sure, so it's mule. A bulldog.
It's not a big dog. It's a 15-inch sort of dog. I don't want to get into the details. But, it's, you know, it's about that size.
Okay. So, everybody's about this size.
You see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bigger than a bread box, but not much bigger. If you're going that way, give me a shout. Anyway, young William, it's been a pleasure to see you, my friend.
See you as well.
Enjoy your week.
Well, I'm looking forward to see what happens with Brody. So,
yeah, I'm sure he'll have fun. This is his second dog show. I don't mean for this dog. It's this dog's second dog show. It's also his second dog show. Yes, he's starting all over at 30. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Or maybe 29. I should know. That's right. Yeah. Anyway, maybe 28. I think it's 28. How old's Brody, Cheryl? 29. See?
I knew. My boy turns 29 this year.
No, he does not.
Yes, he does. Yes.
Wow. Young William.
Yep.
I don't know. Medium William.
Exactly. I have two boys, 29 and 14. One's 6 foot one, one's 6 foot three.
Jeez, you're producing heck? Above your, yeah, you're producing well above. That's isn't right. That amazing?
Yep. We both produce leg, Wainer.
We do. I've got a big one too, you know, 6'3". And then Haley's, of course, not. But I can tell you which one could beat up all those other ones.
Yeah.
My little daughter, 5 foot. And she's the toughest one for sure. We're all afraid of her and we love her to death. Wow. So cool to see them this weekend. Tatum sure. was just adorable. Anyway, there you have it. Have a good weekend up north.
Thank
or
you.
Wherever the hell you're going, west.
Up north, Buckhorn yeah. Lake.
And we'll see you. We'll see you in Aldi, right?
That's right. That's right.
It's only in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
In the flesh. Well, not the flesh.
We'll have to do a live podcast.
Now, that's a good idea.
I have to cast a pod from Aldi, Virginia.
Yeah. Hey, our buddy Eddie did best in North Carolina. And boy, did he have a lineup.
Oh, good.
A great lineup. He had the Bloodhound, the Sealion Carrier. He had some really seriously good dogs. Nice. I thought he did a great job because he's Eddie. That's why. All right. Over and out. Peace be with you.
Be safe, everyone. See you down the road somewhere. See you on the other side.
Party on, Bert.
I'm born no way.
Way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me grace. Bury my sins.
Shattered glass. So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right.
We love you, Ernie.
Where I need to go.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
I watch the move under my feet. Stranger things have come and gone. To see the world and take the throne. Don't hold back.
Thanks, Ernie. Oh, we didn't mention hockey either. Hold back. Isn't that unbelievable, though?
Put that in, Doc. Man, I want to see it on a blooper anywhere.